Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Bryce Ramsey coming back to Georgia is obviously good news for the Bulldogs. First of all, Ramsey, as they say, is a DGD, and he also provides a great deal of depth for Georgia at the quarterback position. This is true even if he never plays. However, the one big question that's been asked since Ramsey made the decision to return is, what impact does this have on Jake Fromm? Now, we've taken our turn at discussing that here on Dog Nation Daily, but I also thought that Seth Emerson at DogNation.com had a really interesting piece about this where he kind of laid out the pros and cons for why Fromm should or shouldn't be redshirted. And I'd invite you to check it out because I think that everything that Seth brings up on kind of both sides of the argument here are pretty logical. And what that leads me to is back to the point that I made about, you know, from when all this sort of started, even before we knew that Ramsey was going to redshirt. The point that I would make about Jake Fromm is that in a perfect world, Jake Fromm would redshirt. I just think it's much easier to play the quarterback position as a redshirt freshman than it is as a true freshman. In a perfect world, you'd be able to let Jake Fromm sit for a year, and then you'd be able to get him on the football field after that as a much more, not necessarily experienced player, but certainly more seasoned player, and a guy probably more set up for success than throwing an 18-year-old kid to the Wolves for the first time who kind of just got off a high school football field. However, here's what we also know. The world's not perfect. There are all kinds of scenarios that are less than ideal, and at Georgia, while it might be the ideal scenario that the experienced fifth-year player Bryce Ramsey would be better than Jake Fromm, at least a capable Band-Aid in the event that Jacob Eason got injured and that Ramsey could be Georgia's number two quarterback. But just like, you know, the world's not perfect and situations aren't ideal, I think there's a really good chance that Bryce Ramsey just isn't better than Jake Fromm. If he was better than Jake Fromm, he probably wouldn't have considered transferring in the first place. If he was better than Jake Fromm, he would have probably proven that at some point in time, and given the chance to win the starting job at Georgia a couple times, he might have fared better in some of those competitions. It's good that Ramsey's back, but I don't know that Ramsey is coming back to be the number two overall starting quarterback. Which sort of brings, or I should say the number two quarterback, which brings us back to the Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason comparison that's been going on ever since it was announced that Fromm was coming to Georgia, and certainly ever since Jake Fromm arrived on campus. The comparison goes on side by side, and the competition, I think, is going to continue between these two people. And when you think about Jacob Fromm, Jacob Eason versus Jake Fromm, and the competition between these two, really there's a point to be made here about why Fromm should not redshirt, and it comes from Chip Towers on something that he said way back on Dog Nation Daily a while ago. And I think of all the points that I've heard about Jake Fromm and what his role at Georgia, both in 2017 and long-term, is, I don't know that there's really been any statement more interesting than what Chip Towers said right around the time that Fromm debuted at G-Day and kind of showed off back in April. What Chip Towers said then is that the competition that goes on between Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason is not just a spring 2017 thing, and it's not just a fall of 2017 thing. It's the kind of thing that could continue to go on as long as both these guys are on campus together. Take a listen to what Chip said back then.
Don't misunderstand me. I don't believe that he's going to beat out Jacob Eason and start the first game for Georgia. But here's the key. He's not going away. Jake Fromm is only going to get better. He just got here, and the point is, I don't think this is going to go away. I think this is a competition that's going to go on in the season. And if you see Jacob Eason continue to have these struggles with accuracy and ball security, Jake Fromm's going to be there. And that's not just this year. That extends to next year. And I think it's going to get real interesting before it gets over.
I love this point by Chip Towers, and it's the reason why I think ultimately Jake Fromm probably won't be redshirted and probably shouldn't be redshirted, is that this is not just one of those things where Jacob Eason beats out Fromm one time and puts some distance between himself and Fromm for the rest of his career. No, this is the kind of thing that over the course of the next couple seasons, or as long as they're both on campus with each other, you may have a slight leaderboard change from time to time. It may be Fromm ahead of the race at one point in time. It may be Eason ahead of the race other times. It may extend into 2018 or maybe even 2019 as well if both guys are still here. This is the kind of thing that's not going to change anytime soon, and therefore it seems like the argument, the correct argument is to get this competition started sooner rather than later. And by the way, we know that Jake Fromm wants this competition. He said so back in January when we had a chance to interview him at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta. In the week that he enrolled at Georgia, he said that he's embracing whatever competition that exists between he and Jacob Eason because it's not only good for him, but it's potentially good for Georgia too.
Competing, it's not only making myself better, it's making him better, it's making, you know, at the end of the day, the team better. And I just want to see Georgia football be successful. And, man, I just want to go at it, you know, take it one step every single day and help any way I can.
Now, we know that it's not just Jake Fromm who wants this competition. We know that Kirby Smart wants it, too. He spent all spring pushing for it, the idea of Fromm versus Eason, and not sort of backing down from his belief that Fromm's presence was going to have the potential of making Jacob Eason better.
I'm excited about the competition because it's going to push Jacob. It already is. I mean, this kid, he gets off the plane from the Army All-American game, and he wants every receiver's cell phone number. And he wants to go throw with them. And if they're not out there throwing, he wants to ask them why they're not. And that's the best thing for Jacob right now.
Yeah, listen, here's the bottom line for me on this. No one really talks about this out loud, but it's true. Jake Fromm came to Georgia because he thinks he can beat out Jacob Eason. Now, no one's going to say that publicly. Fromm's certainly not going to say that publicly. But we just know that he evaluated the situation and said, okay, there's a guy here. He's Jacob Eason. He was a good high school quarterback, but I'm a good high school quarterback. I'm going to come here, and I'm going to compete side by side with this guy, and eventually I'm going to beat him out. That's what all quarterbacks think, and that's the kind of moxie that you want all quarterbacks to have. And as Chip Towers said, this belief that one guy can beat out the other, and I'm sure Jacob Eason has that about Jake Fromm, it's going to continue to unfold, not just in 2017, but in 2018 as well. Now, maybe Jake Fromm's right. Maybe he will eventually beat out Jacob Eason, or maybe he's wrong. Maybe Eason's going to live up to the hype and truly prove that he's a quarterback of a much different caliber and a much better caliber than Jake Fromm is. But one way or the other, the competition's going to decide it. So I think the right decision for Kirby Smart, I think the right decision for Jim Chaney, is not to postpone that competition. Let it take shape. Let it play out during the fall of 2017, leading into 2018 and beyond. Let's find out on the field which of these two quarterbacks truly is better. And the one that emerges probably makes Georgia better in the process. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. Whether you watch us on video on Facebook Live at 10 a.m. each and every day on the Dog Nation Facebook page, listen to us on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref for those of you in the Athens area, or if you check us out on podcast in podcast form, whether it be iTunes, SoundCloud, at dognation.com. However you get to our show, thanks for choosing to make it a part of your day. We certainly appreciate that. Hope you'll visit dognation.com, by the way, because we're getting really excited about our Dog Nation invasion to South Bend and really excited about our Dog Nation invasion to South Bend giveaway, courtesy of R.S. Andrews. Show up there at dognation.com, give all your pertinent info, and you could be in to win your chance to be with us in South Bend. Not just a spot on the Dog Nation Invasion bus, but also tickets, airfare, lodging, the whole nine yards for the big Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend this September. It's all courtesy, of course, of our friends at R.S. Andrews. And R.S. Andrews invites you to keep cool this summer no matter how hot it gets. The best way to do that's with their $99 AC tune-up, guys. You know how it works here. Air conditioning could go out on the hottest day of the summer. That is unless you get a guaranteed R.S. Andrews $99 air conditioning tune-up. Their clean screen, trained, and timely techs are going to give your system a thorough check and guarantee it all summer. Don't let it slide. Call the ones that I trust. R.S. Andrews. You can find them online at rsandrews.com. I'll also take a moment here to count down our days to the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville this October. Our Gator Hater countdown now just 141 days away from Georgia-Florida. And, of course, we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters, first and foremost. And if you think that, too, well, then you got to check out shopdognation.com and get your own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater T-shirt, Dog Nation Daily logo on the sleeve, Gator Hater license plate on the front. Free shipping there for you at shopdognation.com. All the sizes restocked. We've sold out a million times. We keep restocking the thing because we want every Georgia fan that wants one to have their very own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater T-shirt. We really appreciate that. Really fun conversation with Mike Johnson coming up, my colleague from SEC Country Live. We'll get into the latest with everything involving George with him. I'll talk to him about Jake Fromm here a little bit as well. We'll also talk about all the other big news in the SEC. Always fun to have Mike Johnson here on Dog Nation Daily. Great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show, including Mike Johnson right now. I'll say hello here to my partner on SEC Country Live every day. It is Mike Johnson, former Atlanta Falcon, the former Alabama All-American, and a great analyst of the SEC with me on SEC Country Live each and every day. Mike, welcome back to the program. How you doing?
Good to be back, and always talking a little Georgia Dog Shop with you. Are we already getting into the Bob Stoops Notre Dame talk? Is that We already queued that up here earlier in this discussion.
Mike, the one thing that you know about me is it doesn't take me, you know, 9 seconds to sort of get the rumor mill cranked up, to get the debate cranked up. I'm always looking for that angle, and I don't. What we're talking about now, I have a good feeling they'll be talking about pretty heavily in the month of September, I would imagine.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Listen, as soon as I heard the news yesterday, the first thing I wondered if he was going the route of Urban Meyer, where he was going to be relocated a year later. So why not start the rumor mill right now?
Yeah, no doubt about that. One of the things that we were talking about before you joined us on the show here was Jake Fromm and the debate that's going to happen about whether or not you redshirt this player after it was announced that Bryce Ramsey was coming back to Georgia for his fifth and final season. Now, Ramsey is a quarterback when he was coming out of high school, had his own, you know, renown. It hasn't really worked out for him that way, but he is a veteran player. He's been on campus for a while. But apart from that, just looking at Jake Fromm here, Mike, if you're a coach, you got a hotshot quarterback, true freshman, you know, potentially playing behind a sophomore. I mean, what are the pros and cons in your minds in terms of burning that red shirt, maybe for limited playing time for Fromm, or letting him sit, letting him watch, and maybe he's a better player for getting his first experience as a red shirt freshman? Do you have a strong opinion one way or another on that?
Yeah, I think Kirby Smart, you know, I think he's got to wait till game three or four. And I think he's got to, you know, to give Jacob Beeson the opportunity to be the starter and be the incumbent guy and be a guy that's grown during the offseason. I think if he stumbles at any point during those first three or four games, at that point, I think, you know, it's safe to bring in a Jake Fromm and let, you know, let him show what he can bring to the program and maybe move that offense forward under Jim Chaney. I think if you get past that fourth or fifth game, then all of a sudden, you know, you're putting him at risk of not, you know, playing a true full year and also not giving Jacob Beeson a true full year. I think if you can, this is just me, but if you can, I would love to redshirt him. I mean, you know, he kind of matches up with just having one year to play if Jacob Beeson starts throughout his career. So any opportunity to redshirt the guy, I think you've got to try to hop on that. And I know that Kirby Smart is trying to put the pieces together to possibly do that since Bryce Ramsey is back.
You know, Chip Towers, who covers Georgia for DogNation.com, had a really interesting point about this, and I played the clip before you joined us, Mike, about how, you know, a lot of people assume that this competition between Fromm and Easton is like a 2017 thing, and the guy that wins the competition will go on to sort of be Georgia's sort of static starter moving forward. And what Chip says is, hey, there's a chance you have some of the same kind of conversation in 2018, too. You know, this may not be just a one-year thing. And so the reason why I agree with you is that in a perfect world, you probably redshirt Fromm, but, you know, the world's not perfect, you know, there's no such thing as sort of wrinkle-free circumstances. And in the case of Jake Fromm, he probably is Georgia's number two quarterback. And since the competition is going to be going on for a couple years anyway, my thought is, why not go ahead and get it started right now? Why not go ahead and throw him out there, burn the red shirt, and let's see on the field and sort of real-life, you know, comparison how Fromm does look side-by-side with Jacob Eason. That's my argument for this anyway.
Well, yeah, I think you have to be a little bit more guarded. I don't think it's all about getting the competition on the field, because I think you have to, you know, probably look out for the player's best interest at some point. And Jake Fromm understands probably just as well as anybody that, you know, he really wants to get four seasons as a, you know, a quarterback that can contribute to the football team. You know, and just coming off playing sparingly in mop-up duty, Jacob Eason is not going to do that. He needs to play meaningful snaps. But I think, you know, if you're Kirby Smart, you give Jacob Eason the opportunity to kind of take that role first and foremost. And that's why I think you wait, you know, three or four games into the season and let him get some reps under his belt and kind of see what you have. And if he doesn't really take the bull by the horns, then you might look to the bench and see a Jake Fromm and understand that he might be the quarterback of the future. But if at all possible, like I said, I mean, you look back to Ole Miss last year, they wanted to redshirt Shea Patterson. They didn't want him to have to come in and play those games in Chad Kelly's stead, but that was the situation that presented itself late in the year. I think you just kind of have to make it a one-week-at-a-time decision, I guess.
There was a guy that writes for FoxSports.com. His name is Aaron Torres. And he was talking about why each of their preseason top 25 teams might not live up to success this season. And one of the things he mentioned for Georgia was, can you really trust Kirby Smart? You know, Kirby Smart had his first season, some ups and downs there. And it's fair to point out that this is not him picking on Kirby Smart. This is, you know, he wrote a critical thing about every top 25 team, almost from like a hypothetical standpoint. But I don't, Mike, necessarily think it is unfair to ask, you know, those tough questions about Smart. You know, can he in year two show some growth from year one? And can he sort of show that he's got Georgia pointed in the right direction in a way that maybe you didn't provide that evidence here in year one? I don't think that's an unfair thing to ask about Kirby Smart, right?
It's definitely not unfair to ask. You know, we only have a small sample size about what Kirby Smart is. And listen, he's a guy that, you know, his first head coaching stop is a place in the SEC at his alma mater like Georgia. So those questions are going to come up. They're going to arise. And he's going to, you know, have to do his best to kind of silence the critics. And listen, I thought I saw some growth last year. I mean, when you talk about some of the stumbles that Georgia had mid-year all the way through the end of the season when they were playing a lot better all the way into that Liberty Bowl appearance, I thought that even in that first season, just within the season, he made some strides as being a head coach. And, you know, with all the defenders he gets back, you know, being a defensive guy and all the talent that he's surrounded Jacob Eason or Jay Fromm, I guess, on offense with this year, I expect him to have all the tools at his disposal. He's just going to have to try not to stumble in some of the game management aspects that I think he had trouble with last year. And I fully expect Kirby to do that. I mean, he's obviously a bright guy, and, you know, nobody wants to get it right more than Kirby does at this point in time. So I think that, you know, he's probably, you know, spent an entire offseason not only critiquing his team, but critiquing himself and his assistant coaches. And I fully expect them to, you know, the entire team to kind of grow together into their second year this year.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday on SEC Country Live. The Westgate, which is one of those big sports books out in Las Vegas, sort of republished its Heisman Trophy odds. Nick Chubb is there 25-1, and I admitted this to you on the show yesterday. There's a very good chance. This is sort of a homerish opinion. You know, I may be clouded by bias on this, but at 25-1, I actually like Nick Chubb's Heisman Trophy odds. That's not me saying he's going to win it. Odds are he's probably not, but at 25-1, I think Chubb's chances of winning the Heisman Trophy are probably a little better than that. I actually expect a pretty good year from Chubb this season, and I think at the very least he's in the Heisman conversation still in the month of November. And based on our conversation yesterday, I think you kind of agree with that, right?
Yeah, the value is definitely there. I mean, if you're going to gamble on it and you're going to take somebody, you know, within those 25 or 50 to 1 odds, I think that Nick Chubb's definitely a good bet. I also like Darius Geis, we mentioned yesterday. And the thing about the Heisman race, too, and you know this as well, you've always got to look for that outsider, that guy that really probably isn't mentioned much in the debate leading up to the season that all of a sudden becomes a storyline going into the year. I mean, you know, some of the guys that ended up winning here recently. I mean, we didn't probably talk about Johnny Manziel a ton in the Heisman race before he won the Heisman. It's just you don't expect some of these people to show up where they are on some of these lists, and you've got to watch the guys coming from left field. But like I said, in terms of people that you mentioned, in terms of people in that mid-range kind of a value pick, I think Nick Chubb's as good a bet as any. I mean, he's a guy that I really, you know, I know you do too fully expect to get a step back this year that maybe he lost last year in his decisiveness and his ability to cut on a dime and his ability to get upfield in a hurry. I think a lot of that returns this year, and Kirby Smart has been, you know, saying all the right things about that offensive line, and that is only going to help his candidacy.
Yeah, I just think this is the perfect example for me of how public perception can kind of get it wrong sometimes. You know, Chubb, before the knee injury, was a sensational running back. As a freshman in 2014, only part of a season at Georgia, he set records. I mean, he's like the fourth highest single-season total in the history of the program. And in 2015, before the injury, you know, the same kind of back. So in 2016, all of a sudden the productivity goes down. Maybe that's because of, you know, the lack of full recovery from the knee injury. Maybe it's because of the struggles of the Georgia offensive line. But all of a sudden the country has kind of collectively decided that Nick Chubb's not as good as he used to be. Those are the kinds of things the public has just a real likeliness of kind of getting wrong in the case of Chubb. Mike, I think the public's kind of gotten this one wrong here.
Well, you know, maybe so. I know that most people I talk to really respect Nick Chubb and his game and are fully aware of his capabilities when totally healthy. And I think it's important for everybody to remember, you know, this is not like a partially torn ACL. Or this is not, you know, this was a major surgery for Nick Chubb. This was something that is going to take some time to bounce back from. In my experience, being around people that have kind of torn their knees up and really needed to have major reconstruction surgery, you know, this is something that takes time. And like I mentioned on the show, it's all about confidence. I mean, does he have the confidence in his own mind to make some of the cuts that he's used to? I fully expect in year two it'll be better than year one, and he'll kind of grow back into that body and kind of relearn the way that he was a couple of years ago. Sometimes it just takes that long, and we're definitely going to find out sooner than later on the field what he's going to be made of this year.
You mentioned Bob Stoops a moment ago, retires from Oklahoma yesterday. Maybe this is my cynical side. I assume that he is going to coach again. Do you agree with that? And do you think that Stoops is one of those names that sort of shows up on some of these SEC rumor mills in terms of potential replacements, whether it be Butch Jones at Tennessee, anybody, you know, you want to mention from the SEC West, maybe Kevin Sumlin, others? I mean, do you think that that Stoops as an SEC coach is a rumor that gets legs at any point in time?
Oh, I'm sure sure it does. I mean, you know us. Just between me and you,
No doubt.
I'm sure it hits the ground running. I'm sure it gets started at any point. That it's kind of like John Gruden or some of these other coaches that people love to float about and people love to kind of make part of some of these conversation talks. And we talk football 365 days a year in the South. So Bob Stoops is going to come up. I'm not sure. I can't predict his future. And listen, I don't think we've heard enough from him at this point in time. I think he wants to go a different direction with his life right now. And will he be one of those guys that gets hungry to come back and coach and be a part of young guys' lives? It's very possible. I don't think that probably he doesn't even know the answer to that yet, that maybe if it does become that way, that it takes a year or two in a case like Urban Meyer. So, definitely sit out this year and kind of wait to see things, fall apart in a different program. And at some point, maybe a program comes calling that he just can't say no to. And I don't imagine who it is. I mean, I'm sure Notre Dame's going to be there, a couple of the other really prestigious places around the country. But, he was at Oklahoma 18 years, and to me that makes him a Sooner for life. And until I see otherwise, I'm not going to believe that he's going anywhere else. It's just going to be just that. It's going to be a rumor.
I want to finish up with this, and, maybe you'll agree with me on this, maybe you won't, but one of the conversations that happens around Georgia a lot is there's dissatisfaction with Jim Chaney, the offensive coordinator. Now, listen, I'm not going to deny, a lot of that's for good reason. Chaney did not have a good year last year. He's even admitted that himself. But here's the thing that I think Georgia fans ought to be concerned about if Chaney truly proves not to be a very good offensive coordinator. Where are you going to find his replacement? And the reason why I bring that up, Mike, is look at Oklahoma right now. The head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners is 33 years old. It's a guy, Lincoln Riley, who was an offensive coordinator 5 seconds ago, and really it wasn't that long ago that he was the offensive coordinator at East Carolina. Now, it used to be that the East Carolina offensive coordinator was the guy who was becoming the next in line to be an SEC offensive coordinator at some point. That level of school was producing the offensive coordinators that became the SEC offensive coordinators. But the landscape in college football has changed now to the point where if you're Lincoln Riley and the offensive coordinator at East Carolina, you're only a couple years away from being Oklahoma head coach. That means as these guys sort of quickly move up the pipeline to the head coaching ranks, there is no pool of future offensive coordinators anymore. And if you're a Georgia fan looking to replace Chaney, I think you got to keep that in mind, that there is not a long list of potential replacements out there.
Yeah, not only that, but in the pipeline here with these recent rule changes due to assistant coaches coming from high schools have really changed the game as well. I think we're going to see a little bit of a hiccup in the pipeline, as far as getting these assistant coaches on campus. It's such a different day and age. I mean, you have guys like Butch Jones reaching for a guy like Larry Scott that's never even called plays in his life. You have guys like Matt Canada down there at LSU that didn't become a big name until a good year at Pitt, and then all of a sudden he's one of the most highly regarded offensive coordinators out there. And I think that they just come out of nowhere sometimes. And listen, Gus Malzahn showed up on the scene at Arkansas, from being a head coach in high school, and some of these other guys around the country have similar stories. You just never know where you're going to get them. And I'm sure they're out there, and I'm sure Kirby Smart would have his pulse on whoever he got. But I'm kind of in Jim Chaney's corner. I think he has a good offensive mind. And to me, kind of fits Kirby Smart's style of really, being able to put the hammer down. And I don't even remember what game it was last year. I think they were playing Auburn where he ran like a bunch of tall sweeps in a row, and just really they couldn't Auburn couldn't defend it, and he just kept hammering it at him. And I think that fits Kirby Smart's style of being a head coach, where once you find a weakness, you kind of exploit it. I definitely think he's got to be come up with a few different formations on offense this year, find ways to get Sonny Michel on the field a lot more with Nick Chubb. But I fully expect him to do that. He seems self-aware, and he seems like he knows where his problems lie at Georgia right now. So I expect a big year out of Jim Chaney.
All right, Mike, good stuff. We always appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily. Looking forward to this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern time, right there on SEC Country Live. We'll talk to you then.
Yeah, I can't wait, brother. See you this afternoon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always fun to have Mike Johnson on the program. Love him on SEC Country Live. And if you have not checked us out on SEC Country Live, hope you'll do so. It's on the SEC Country Facebook page. It's a Facebook Live broadcast. And if you've never watched a Facebook Live broadcast, it's really just like watching television. You can just hold it in your hand on your phone, on your laptop, your iPad, whatever you've got, right there for you on Facebook Live, SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, each and every day. By the way, it's SEC Through time now. Before I get some of the SEC news, let me also tell you that our Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend is brought to you in part by Larceny Bourbon. Larceny Bourbon is a 92 proof, weeded small batch bourbon made from 200 barrels or less, that are hand-selected by their master distillers from the finest barrels in the rickhouse. Unlock the smoothness today at larcenybourbon.com. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You know, a moment ago we were talking to Mike about some Heisman Trophy odds and kind of how Nick Chubb stacks up in that conversation. He's 25-1 right now. I'll totally acknowledge that this may be a bias. This may be a homerism type thing. Maybe I just think too highly of Nick Chubb. Maybe the rest of the country has the better perspective. But I told Mike a moment ago, I think that Chubb is actually a pretty good bet at 25-1. As far as other SEC players and how they potentially stack up for some Heisman Trophy conversation, I mentioned this yesterday on SEC Country Live. And some of y'all know because you give me a hard time for it. I picked Auburn to win the SEC West. Part of the reason why I think it will win the West is because I think Jared Stidham is going to be a much better quarterback at Auburn than Jalen Hurts is going to be at Alabama. I'm absolutely on the Stidham bandwagon here. But boy, even a guy like me, who I think was kind of talking this up pretty early, even a guy like me is sort of forced to take a step back for a moment when you see what the Westgate has done with Stidham. When they opened this thing up, going back really before spring practice, this is right, like very early April, actually right around the time that spring practice was ending, Jared Stidham was 50-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Now, in just a couple months' time, no game being played, the only thing that's happened is people like me get on microphones and start hyping some of this stuff up, talking some of this stuff up. Well, in that span of time, just a couple of months' time here, Stidham has gone from a 50-1 long shot to now just 20-1 to win the Heisman Trophy, kind of on that short list of potential favorites here. Now, I think Stidham is a Heisman contender, but this is pretty ridiculous, right? I mean, this is crazy to think that without playing a game, Stidham's stock in terms of a Heisman Trophy conversation is somehow rising. I think that's kind of a dangerous thing to assume there. It certainly gives voice to some of the people who want to say a little too much hype for Auburn. This time is like last time. I don't quite believe that's true, but this is evidence to support that argument. As far as some of the other SEC players in the discussion like this, you got two Alabama guys, Bo Scarborough, Darius Geis, Bo Scarborough, Jalen Hurts, both at 20-1. The LSU running back, Darius Geis, also at 20-1. Cameron Petway, the Auburn running back, at 30-1. So that gives you an idea of how dangerous the Auburn offense could be. A running back in that sort of 30-1 conversation, quarterback in that sort of 20-1 conversation, that gives you an idea that Vegas at least thinks that that Auburn's going to be multidimensional here with two potential Heisman Trophy caliber guys to defend against, which is a reason why Auburn's going to be tough. If you're curious, by the way, Jacob Eason also 100-1 to win the Heisman Trophy there. So some SEC players, including a couple of Georgia guys, showing up on that list. Couple more quick stories I'll get to here on the SEC through. O.J. Smith, former four-star defensive lineman, is transferring from Alabama. Really played sparingly in a couple years on campus there at Tuscaloosa. The only reason why I bring this up is it just gives you an example of just how deep and how tough Alabama is each and every year and why that's the case. You've got former four-star players who can't find time on the playing field. I mean, this is why Alabama is in that conversation for the college football playoff each and every season when they've been there so far each and every year of existence is because go to that third string, go to that guy that can't find his way on the field, that's a better recruit than a lot of the countries pulling in on a yearly basis. And Alabama finds a way to do it each and every year. The fact that O.J. Smith is forced to leave because there's not room for him just goes to show you just how deep Alabama really is. Speaking of Alabama, kind of a strange story here too. Did you see where LSU coach Ed Orgeron wanted to speak at something in Phoenix City, Alabama, a part of an official sort of government activity there? But because there was some educational component to it, the NCAA has shut it down, saying this was about recruiting more so than doing something with a civic mind here. I'm sure the LSU folks aren't too happy about that. Alabama has come into Louisiana and taking some players a lot here recently. Maybe this is Ed Orgeron trying to return the favor, but I guess he's not going to be able to do that, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, we wrap up the show here today, and I want to make one more comment about what has been the big story in college football over the last 24 hours, and that's the retirement of Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops, who showed up in Norman, Oklahoma, before Mark Richt showed up in Athens. Now think about that for a moment. Stoops' national championship at Oklahoma came with Mark Richt coaching as offensive coordinator for Florida State. That's an amazing statement about Stoops' tenure there at Oklahoma, something you don't see a lot in college football anymore, which kind of brings us back to Mark Richt. You know, Rick leaving after the end of the 2015 season was largely viewed as a controversial decision on the part of many Georgia fans. There are a pocket of Georgia fans that didn't think Rick should be dismissed from the program, and I think there's still some Georgia fans who still feel that way. But Stoops leaving kind of on top of Oklahoma shows that the move against Rick wasn't really all that controversial after all. 15 years is a long time, and maybe change was needed. We'll see tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.